Talk Live with Psychics Online now for one-on-one personal readings. Welcome to Stars Psychics, a community of gifted psychic readers offering live psychic readings through our private chat rooms. Want to know about your love life? What about your career and wealth? Hear from loved ones and more. Our network of channelers, tarot card readers, clairvoyants, spiritual advisors, and clairaudients can assist in answering your questions and guide you to a new level of spiritual career. Online psychic readings are a great way to find out answers you've always wanted to know from a psychic in the privacy and comfort of your home. Go to www.starspsychics.com. That's stars with a Z, psychics.com. Now click on the new one-on-one button and start talking to a psychic today.
Well, thank you, everyone. I do so love that lady's voice. I don't know why. She's kind of Norwegian or something. But anyways, on the topic tonight, we are going to listen to Stars Maya Moon and Stars James on synchronicity. Now, we've all had things like that happen. Things that happen, I call it like an awakening, like the universe is trying to tell you something that, open your eyes. You see what's going on? This is over and over and over and over again. I had a dramatic synchronicity happen in my life. But to discuss it, it's a synchronicity is a theory popularized by psychologist Carl Jung that it identifies movements of human consciousness and how it impacts life experience. And in this show, we will be discussing how synchronicity works and how it can be harnessed to achieve a more positive life experience. This is going to be a great topic tonight, and I hope everybody enjoys it. Now, I didn't even ask my two stars here who's going to start the show off.
This is Maya. Well, I think I started last time, and we're just kind of flipping back and forth. So, James, did you want to start?
Sure. I can
is that
start.
Okay, or did you want me to... We're
okay,
both
well,
so easy.
I know. I mean, I just throw the dice. No, I don't do that. Just, you know, I know it was last week, yeah, and I have by my notes here that it's James for tonight. But anyways, James, take it away.
Sure. All right, yeah, tonight we're going to be talking about synchronicity, which is really, from my perspective, it's just meaningful coincidence that happens in life, things that, you know, are kind of unexplainable. I know that there are, it's one of those things scientifically, it stemmed from the science community. It actually arose from the scientific community with this individual named Carl Jung. Carl Jung was a psychiatrist. And he kind of popularized the idea of synchronicity, these coincidences that happen that kind of bring more meaning into our lives. Natalie gave a really good definition. I have another definition here from online. It says the simultaneous occurrence of events that appear significantly related but have no causal connection. And causal connection is the cause and effect of life. And that's really what Carl Jung was getting into from his own perspective. And Carl Jung had, and I'm going to kind of go into the scientific part and then my own personal belief, but I want to start with kind of the basis, the shoulders of the individuals that we're standing on related to this particular topic, because I think that that's important in how we can understand the topic. So Carl Jung, he had a belief, he's the individual that gave us the understanding or the idea of the archetypes, and then also universal consciousness. And universal consciousness I've talked about in the show representing the oneness of all things. And the archetypes are the symbolism that exists within our world that is universal. So things like mother, father, king, a lot of the symbolism even found in the tarot is related to these prevalent archetypes that Carl Jung talks about. And so synchronicity came in one day when he was having a conversation. He was a contemporary of Einstein, and when Einstein was talking about his theory of relativity, Carl Jung kind of jumped on it as a way to ponder things that happen that are related to both the archetypes and the single consciousness of all things. So Let me just check my notes here where I'm at. Okay, Carl Jung actually believed that synchronicity served a role in shifting individuals from egocentric consciousness thinking to greater wholeness, to a greater wholeness in terms of how people think of the world. So it's from duality to oneness is from his particular perspective, and a lot of his writings reflect that. I'm actually a student. Well, I say I'm a student. I've read some things by Carl Jung, and that's really a lot of what he talks about. He was very scientific in the way that he explained things, but was very much associated with the supernatural and, you know, things of that nature, interested him in his whole worldview and how that can be implemented or related to the practice of psychiatry. So that's just kind of an introduction from the scientific perspective. You know, there's certainly my own belief and then my own experiences that I'd like to talk about today, but that's really just to give a brief understanding of kind of where the idea came from. I know I didn't get through all my notes, but I think I'm going to stop there.
Okay, well, this is Maya, then. You're going to stop there, and I'll go ahead, James, and then we'll go back to you. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, this is Maya, and welcome, everyone. We're so glad to have you, whether you've been with us many times or this is your first time listening. I know that you're going to find the show very informative and enlightening, hopefully. And also just mentioning that the chat room is open. And so if you're interested, the chat room and the radio, the show run, we run together. So if you're interested in getting a mini reading or having a question answered and giving us a chance, you can visit the chat room, and I don't know all of the experts there right now, but I know that Stars Priestess Candy is always there and available, and so you can check with her. And if you would like to call in, listeners are invited to call in the show if you have a comment on our topic this evening. And the number, if you've called in, you know it, but I always say it, it's 347-838-9736. And I'll just add a little bit, and then we'll go from there. And Carl Jung, for those who are not familiar, I'm a big fan of Carl Jung. And his last name is spelled J-U-N-G. And a lot of those that aren't familiar have trouble pronouncing it or mispronounce it, which makes sense because it's pronounced, the J is pronounced as a Y, and it can even be pronounced as Jung, which is not considered correct in modern English. But one of the things that's interesting, I find, when you compare him to some of the more noted psychiatrists of his day and time, is that I agree with James, is that he was very spiritual and he saw things. James mentioned that he was scientific, and what I'm sharing with you is just what I have collected based on my experience, my personal experiences with the supernatural, the paranormal, and the spiritual, and what clients have offered to me, what I have learned, traditional learning. So it's a combination what my guides teach me. So that doesn't mean that this is the only view, the only way of looking at it, but this just happens to be the way that I see it. So what I'm going to do first is, synchronicity, I feel, can be a word that can be often misused, and it's like taking it's like chance versus fate, and then we have synchronicity versus coincidence. And I want to stress that we each have our own idea, and we should always go with what resonates within ourselves, because there are many that believe there is no such thing as coincidence or chance, that everything is related, everything is supposed to be. I take the view that there is at times coincidences. And one quote that I got that I thought was interesting, and this is from Carl Jung. This is one of the ways in which he defines, and I resonate with this, so that's why I'm sharing it. One of the ways that he defines synchronicity is the amplification of coincidence. So to me, what that means is that coincidence would be running into something that is a reminder or symbolic of a person or situation. Let's say you have a person in your past that you have not yet, there's unfinished business and you haven't dealt with, and there's, let's say there's a strong number associated with that person. And coincidence would be if you happen to, on occasion, see that number. But synchronicity is when that number appears to you in a sequence, a more consistent, constant flow. So that's how I determine the difference between what I feel is synchronicity. Synchronicity to me is that the occurrence that does involve cause and effect and does have universal law is implied in that and does have the ability to shift the consciousness, because a coincidence is to me kind of the opposite, or it's on the other side, is something that can be, we chalk it up, well, it's just a coincidence that I found that, or I ran into this person, or such and such happened. Whereas synchronicity becomes so, it to me, I almost feel that it can become a pattern so that we are no longer able to ignore it. So therefore, we embrace it into our spiritual selves, and once it's embraced in our spiritual selves, it becomes a part of our emotional and cognitive self, and it is then accepted as being true. So sometimes what a person may decide to embrace as being the truth or being meant to be fate versus just chance or coincidence is how often or in what manner something appears, and if that something, that synchronicity or that coincidence, if that causes, has enough of a cause and effect that it causes us to alter something within our lives. And my guides always talk about the chaos theory and the butterfly effect, and I think that comes into play with synchronicity, because it just shows that one simple thing, stumbling across one thing, can often cause us to change in ways that are phenomenal and have the potential to enlighten us to just a myriad of opportunity. And I feel that the universe is plentiful in what it can offer. So that's kind of just my little rundown on how I see this and where I come from on this particular topic. So with that, I'll turn it back over to James.
Okay, yeah, I mean, and I agree, I consider synchronicity, and I, actually this is a quote from Carl Jung, too, that it's an intervention of grace to give us a higher perspective. I mean, would you agree with that in your definition, that it's an intervention of grace?
I would, because I feel that grace overrides karma, and so I would see karma as the stone that cannot be moved, in a sense. I mean, I'm oversimplifying just for the topic.
Well, right. Yes, I would
tend to agree with you, James, yes.
Mm-hmm. My personal perspective on synchronicity, and this is kind of how it works in my life, is, you know, synchronicity is actually one of the ways in which God or the universe communicates to me. You know, as I'm moving forward through life, events happen in such a way that it, you know, it kind of confirms, you know, take a different direction or, you know, stay on the course that you're on. And in that way, I think that it is too an extension of grace, because grace is the means by which we live. It's the hand of God, or the hand of that which is much higher than us or much wiser than us on our lives. Okay, so let's see. I mean, Yeah, I'm kind of stuck. Go ahead.
Okay,
no,
well,
go
that happened.
One of those moments. I'm not sure, Natalie. Why don't? I mean, maybe what we can do is people who have had synchronistic events happen in their lives, maybe share their stories or something. Because I'm even having a hard time following my notes today, so.
Okay, well, I'm a chatterbox. I can chatter here for a bit. And yes, if anyone would, I'm sure Natalie, I'm not trying to speak for Natalie, but I'm sure if anyone listening has something that they would like to share about synchronicity, but synchronicity is the, I believe that it's the way that we're brought to attention and we're being sought out to take note of something because there is something that needs to be changed in our lives, and that situation could be work. If you're unhappy at work but you have yet to take any action, instead you just keep going to work, punching the time clock, and you're unhappy and not doing anything about it, and it's time for you to move on, then perhaps synchronicity would come in by constantly the all of a sudden the paper is delivered when you don't normally get the newspaper, and it happens to fly open to the page of jobs available, and you see jobs, and so it's a continuation to enlighten us, and I do feel that it's a process of enlightenment to enlighten us to change. And everything that we do for change is, I believe, is to serve our greatest good, to serve the highest path. And so synchronicity, I feel, is a very, it's like a well-oiled machine, except in the spiritual sense, although I do believe it affects the Trinity, the Trine, the emotional and physical. Anything that affects us spiritually affects us emotionally and therefore affects us physically, and it goes in the reverse. Just like a clock, it goes in the reverse too. So to me, synchronicity is occurrences that happen over and over. And I could even share a story. I have been working in, as if you want to call it a psychic, if you want to call it in the intuitive, in the spirituality, I have been doing this for as long as I can remember. I've had my gifts since I was a child, but obviously 6-year-olds don't, you know, stand on the corner or, you know, read tarot cards, or at least most of us don't. I'm sure there's some that do, but I did not participate at that young of an age. I was a young woman, a teenager when I began, and in the meantime, it didn't always pay the bills, so to speak. So in the meantime, I worked a lot of regular jobs, and I got a little bit pulled away from my true calling and purpose, which I feel is working as an intuitive and helping people. So where I would say synchronicity came to me in a very significant or profound way is that I began to have experiences that were, the difference between coincidence is something that just happens on occasion and is not important enough or not often enough, or not strong enough, or profound enough to make us stop, look, and listen, and change. So I continued to have these experiences to the point that I even had a person stop me one time, a stranger, and grab me by the arm and said, "You know why you're here? Why are you?" I'm trying to remember the conversation because this was probably, 30 years ago. And this person, I remember there was something about their eyes. So from that point, I had various experiences, and I would call that definitely, I would label that as synchronicity. And I knew that even if I needed to work a quote-unquote traditional job, that it was important to me as a person, for whatever reason, that this was something that I was called to do. And so I began to go back into it, even if it was on a small basis. And I no longer felt or had those signs. It was like as if I turned every corner, there was something else, there was something that I related, and I think sometimes when I did want to talk about that, but I want to see where James is before I go into that. But that's my big story, around synchronicity would be about synchronicity, about spirituality, is that I feel that one of the reasons I was able to no longer work any type of traditional job. I work full-time in spirituality because I feel that's what I'm meant to do, that's what I'm blessed with being able to do, and that's what I feel, I just feel that's my home, just like many people feel being an accountant or an attorney or data entry, it doesn't matter. Some people love fast food, working at Walmart. It doesn't matter. If you're happy and you feel you're at the right place. But these occurrences came over and over. They would not, it's like a repetitive dream, if you will. They would not let up. And so it was no longer just a coincidence, something I could just easily brush off and say, oh, well, it was just a coincidence that this happened. They became so profound in my life that they caused me to take notice. And when I took notice and I began to see and I began to embrace that feeling of synchronicity and that something more powerful than myself was going on and that I was being led in a direction, then I felt completely at ease, and I no longer had these experiences because I was no longer questioning. And so I think that's an example. I think synchronicity, like many of our spiritual terms, can be subjective in their meanings and how we apply those meanings to ourself and our life and our life path and journey. So there's many ways to look at that. But for me, that would be probably the biggest experience that I would share. And I know in working with clients, oftentimes clients experience situations in which synchronicity is at work and moving or shifting them to reach, again, a higher place or their true purpose or place. I use the word true, and true to me just means the highest or the best or the potential that exists for that person. And so let's see if James, are you ready to share anything with us yet?
Sure. Well, I have like 4 pages of notes. It was just I was having a hard time following my notes and then following what you were saying and following my own flow. So, but I really, one of the things that you had said was with your clients, I mean, when I do a reading, I look at that as a form of synchronicity. Whereas, you know, I give them information, and a lot of times what Spirit will give me and when I'm doing a reading is like, look for this and look for the smaller things first. And what I really sense when I'm doing a reading with somebody is oftentimes those events to be grateful for, those small things actually kind of start this snowballing effect. Where they can look at their lives and see the synchronicity, and then that will help them gain momentum to achieve their highest good. Would you kind of agree with that, or I mean, do you experience that as well in your readings?
I would say I'm going to say yes, but I'm going to also say that not to play the advocate here. I would say yes, I do agree with you. But I also find that sometimes clients are deliberately trying to find synchronicity when none exists. So I don't know if you've experienced that as well.
Yes. No, I do agree with that. But a lot of times what I've experienced, though, with clients is, and I guess maybe I didn't communicate this as well. I mean, obviously, if they're looking for synchronicity, whereas if I'm getting something from Spirit as, okay. You can see this, and this will be, you know, this will show you that change is coming, and this will show you that, you know, maybe you're taking a new direction or something. Sometimes I really feel as though, and you know, not to overanalyze the readings that I do, but sometimes I feel as though those types of things, those types of synchronicities where I will say it, they will see it, it's almost like when they can see that, it creates momentum in the direction that leads to their highest good. That's what I'm talking about, where synchronicity comes into play, where, okay, watch for this. particular thing. And then when they do watch for that thing and they find it, it actually creates the directional change that they need to achieve their highest good. From, and this is just something from my perspective and, you know, something that I've kind of thought about for a while in terms of, you know, I've had clients come in and I've said, okay, watch for this. And then they will watch for that. And they don't see the outcome that I'm seeing at all associated with, you know, their situation. And it's usually not related to romance. Romance readings are quite different. And I'm wondering if maybe when you're talking about the synchronicity, I do feel like sometimes when it comes to unhealthy relationships, people will try to hold on to events within that relationship to, you know, kind of feed the negativity. But that's really not what I was trying to refer to. I was trying to mention, you know, maybe small events that spirit gives me associated within a reading. When I'm doing a reading with somebody, like let's say it's a financial reading, and you know, spirit is letting me know that there's going to be tremendous financial abundance coming or something good. And then I say, but watch out for this, because this will be the first thing, and maybe it will be, you know, a call from someone offering them a contract or some, you know, something smaller that actually kind of works as a snowballing effect, where when they get that, they can be grateful for that, they see the synchronicity in that, and then they can trust the rest of it, and then they achieve the rest of it. Does that make sense?
That does. That I appreciate you articulating that a little bit more. Yes, I would totally agree and support that, that's definitely true. And oftentimes they are, I would go so far as to say they are led to us or to other experts for that purpose. And that's because we are able to see that, and we're able to point that out. And it's just like what you mentioned. Once it's pointed out to them, they're able to see outside the box, and so they're able to see where this is leading and see the bigger picture, and then they have that aha moment, and everything kind of comes into play and comes into alignment for them, and so they're automatically then swept up into that higher energy, and that all, you know, that all flows to me together. Into, you know, manifesting and the secret and the laws of attraction,
oh, right,
and cause and effect.
Right.
So yes. I would agree when you put it that way. Yes, definitely. And that's, to me, that's a very intrinsically satisfying experience for myself as well, when I can feel that enlightenment from that other person due to the synchronicity that we've explored, or I've been able to point out, because sometimes we can't see the forest for the trees.
So funny, my next bullet point was natural mysticism. I had that on there because I think that sometimes people, you know, I feel like I experience synchronicity more, and I wouldn't necessarily say on a daily basis, although sometimes it seems like it's on a daily basis, but I really experience at least once a week where I have events line up in such a way that there is no way for me to see it other than a communication from the universe. And I think that part of it is because I live a life of gratitude, and part of it is because I look for it. You know, I look for things to line up in such a way to show me that I'm headed in the right direction. You know, and so that's why I had natural mysticism, because I think that's one of the things in my life that has been of tremendous value. And I think that, you know, some people might not be able to do this. You know, if you're like in a big city or something, you could certainly walk in a park. But all that natural mysticism is just recognizing the beauty that exists around you. And it works especially, at least from what I've found in my own personal practice, it works most beneficially when you're in nature. If you can go out in the woods and you can walk around in the woods, or you can go out and, you know, it doesn't necessarily even have to be the woods. Like I said, a park, and just go out and just recognize the natural beauty that's around you and be grateful for it. And something happens when you're able to do that, where you see things differently. And another thing that I do personally is I look for confirmations associated with my affirmations. I use affirmations. I recommend others use affirmations. They have been of tremendous value in my life. And so, you know, if you use an affirmation like life supports me, and then go on in the day, and anytime you feel like life isn't support you, say the affirmation, but continually look for, you know, realities in which life is supporting you. And that's another thing, and it works with a lot of affirmations. Right now, my biggest affirmation within the past few days, it's only been 24 hours, and I'm almost to the end of my cold. But I had a friend who came over, and she's like, "I've had a cold for like a week. I hope you don't get it." And then she coughed and sneezed on everything around me, and and I felt it almost like within 4 or 5 hours. So I started using the affirmation, "My body now restores itself to its natural state of health and healing." And then, of course, I didn't just do that. I'm in Michigan right now, and I have practiced a lot of medicinal herb, like wild medicinal herb gathering in Michigan, and there was a lot of herbs out there that helped colds. So I went outside and I kept saying the affirmation, and then I would find a particular herb that I know, you know, helps colds, and I'd gather that up. And I did that over, you know, a series of maybe an hour, and then I took it back in and I made a decoction. And a decoction is when you boil the herbs down. And it's been about 24 hours, and it's been just over 24 hours because she came over in the afternoon on Sunday, and today is Monday in the evening. But I'm almost better, and she had it for a week, and it's like, you know, it's those types of things where I look for the answer within the, you know, not everyone's an herbalist, but, you know, thankfully I have a little bit, you know, I've studied herb lore, and I have a little bit of understanding about, you know, the herbs that grow around me. But anyway, I mean, that's just one example. And my main point to that was if you can use affirmations and then look for the synchronicity associated with them, it's kind of like what we were talking about with the psychic readings, that can often trigger something that can create momentum to achieve your highest good. And it's the same way with affirmations. The way that affirmations work is you say things, even though they may not be your immediate circumstance at the moment, you say things with an understanding that your thoughts are actually creating your reality, and then look for change within your situation. And I found that works wonderfully for me. So let me see. I guess that's another stopping point on my notes.
Okay. Well, yeah, I would agree that's true. And when I think about synchronicity also, you know, you talked about you feel that it's an occurrence that is almost ongoing with you. And a lot of it, I feel, is just having that belief and that faith. It's like I often tell clients when their energy is of a certain nature, are you walking with your head down or are you walking with your head up? Because if you're walking with your head down, then you're only going to see what is below you. If you're walking with your head up, you're going to see around you all that is equal at your eye level, but you're also going to see everything that's above, which to me is just representative of the potential and what is of the future. So I kind of would see that the same with synchronicity. If we are open to that, the existence of synchronicity and the power that there is the ability to be shown, which synchronicity to me is that unforeseen or unnameable source that can show us and can assist us, aid us, help us. It's energy. I mean, we can't really look at energy. I mean, we can build a fire, and we know that when we watch the flames, we know that that's energy. We can plug a toaster in, and we know when the toast is burnt. Well, you know, that's energy. But I mean, my point being is that we don't. It's not always something really tangible, but that's the whole thing with spirituality. That has no bearing on whether it exists. And I also feel that synchronicity occurs a lot more often. Sometimes I know we mentioned when it can be used when we're just digging and we're trying to create it. But going on the more positive flow of when it's coming, a lot of times, again, going with the job, because that just seems to have been coming up a lot lately for me with clients, is job situations, people that have been very unhappy, and then something very unforeseen, a set of circumstances has occurred, and they find themselves not necessarily, I don't want to say that they walked in and, you know, like the old song, take this job, but, you know, a chain of events have been set off, and they find themselves in a position where they're now in an active state of pursuing. And that can easily go, to me, that can be split either ways. That can be embraced as synchronicity, as a blessing, and the potential and the opportunity to finally move forward, because I think fear often keeps us from embracing and realizing and understanding synchronicity and the potential that it has. To me, synchronicity goes along with enlightenment, empowerment. I talk a lot about, are we authors or are we writers? You know, are we letting other people write our life and we're just saying, you know, okay, well, you're going to fill in this role or you're going to be the stand-in for this role? Are we starring in our own play, our own script, our own movie? To me, I see all of those kind of being along the same lines. So oftentimes what can be occurring that we are original, because we, as humans, we all have fear, and fear goes back to, you know, it goes as far back as our ancestors, who, you know, they had to have fear in order to survive, because their survival, fear was an important thing to have. We really don't need that much fear in this life, because most of us aren't standing on cliffs fighting dinosaurs. And hey, any listeners out there, if you really are, I want to come there, so please call in and tell me where you're at, because if I can roam with the dinosaurs, I would love to do that. That's a joke. Everybody gets to laugh at that. So
I laugh. But it was just really quiet.
But no, fear was an important part of where we began, but we've held on to that instinct unnecessarily, and so fear, I think, can be one of the things that can hold us back from embracing the ideology of synchronicity and the whole purpose of synchronicity. And so sometimes synchronicity can come upon us in a way that, if we allow it to, we can be clutched by fear, because, again, let's use the job situation as just an analogy, and the person, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? And then I might say to the client, but you've been miserable, you have been manifesting in your own way, a change way, and little things have been coming. So let's put these little pieces together, and now we can see that you have been given a gift, and this is freedom, and this is exactly what you needed in order to be free, he or she to be free, and to move forward. So I also think synchronicity can be like that. So sometimes it to me, it's a matter of whether we embrace that and we follow that pattern or that potential or that those possibilities, or whether we deny. That's walking with our head down. If you walk with your head down, you're going to fall a lot. There's that, you know, try it sometime. Walk with your head down and look just at the ground. Even if you're watching where you're going, please don't do it in a crowded parking lot where there's cars not paying attention. But, you know, go walk around your backyard or the outside, or like you talk about nature. I love nature too, James. I mean, it wouldn't be much good to walk through nature with your head down looking at the ground. Nature needs to be experienced on all levels, and one is with looking up or around. So with that, what would you like to add?
Oh, I need to interrupt since we're having a little moment here. I have Stars Aeneas who would like to say something about Carl Jung. He said, that's my guy. So I'm going to connect him in, and when you guys are ready, you just call him up, okay? But I'm going to put him live on the air for us tonight, okay?
Okay, sure.
Okay, Stars Aeneas, you're
hello.
Live. So,
hello.
So you have to behave yourself now and be nice.
Well, you know it. You know it.
I know it. So anyways, I have Stars Aeneas with us tonight. He's also one of our stars, and he was in the room, and of course, Stars Piece of Candy Ranson's in there, but he wanted to add, I guess, to a little bit to the topic. So I'll be quiet, and I'll let you guys talk away.
Hello.
Hello.
Okay, go ahead. I guess they're waiting for you.
Hi, Maya.
Hi, Aeneas.
James.
Hey.
Maya.
James is there.
Hi, Maya. Hi, James. Hi. How's everybody?
Good.
Well.
How are you?
Good. You guys, I came in late on this. You guys are talking about synchronicity.
Yes.
Yeah. It took me a long time to understand synchronicity. It's not an easy concept to master and understand how things in our life fall into place the way they're supposed to, and nothing happens by coincidence. And I noticed the piece about the show tonight. I talked about Carl Jung and his discoveries and work with synchronicity in the psychiatric field. And he believed that there were no coincidences in life. Everything kind of like flowed into another. And that's how I've always understood synchronicity. As working for Stars, practicing tarot, a lot of the way I talk to my clients is kind of explaining synchronicity to them, that one thing flows into another and you can't rush something. That's how I understand it. Maybe you guys have a different look at it, or like I said, I came in late.
Well, no, I would say, this is Maya, and I'll go first. The only thing that I would personally say, and what I love, again, I just want to mention briefly about our spiritual topics, is these are just different views. Each of us, there is really no right or wrong way. And I love that you shared, Aeneas, that it took you a long time, because it was actually a bit of a struggle, not psychologically so much when I did traditional studies, but from a spiritual viewpoint, to understand the difference. But I would agree with you that it can be a chain or a series of events. I, however, do recognize that we can, I do believe that coincidence is more of like a one-time offer, so to speak, where true synchronicity is not going to be just that one coin that you find, or that one sign that flashes, or you wake up and the clock has a certain number on it, whatever the case may be. I do believe that there is such a thing as coincidence. I would not feel comfortable myself personally in saying that everything that occurs, rhyme or reason, is all synchronicity and is all meant to be, although I believe that every choice that we make takes us to a path, and that destination is probably going to be waiting. So I just wanted to add my you know, since you asked, I agree with most of what you say, yes. So we'll see what James has to say on that.
Well, I would have to tend to agree with you on, I really believe that all of humanity, all of, you know, us individual souls and then the soul of the planet is all headed to one outcome. And therefore, there is, to me, there is no such thing. I believe in coincidence in the actual definition of coincidence. The actual definition is a remarkable occurrence of events or circumstances without apparent causal causal connection.
That's just what Jung said. He called synchronicity meaningful coincidences.
Right. Though, yeah, exactly. Actually, meaningful coincidences is how I started the show. And I totally agree with that. I mean, I think that, you know, I really do believe that it really changes depending on what your underlying belief is about, I say God or universe, or, you know, is it a dualistic universe or is it a singular universe? Meaning, and that's one thing that Carl Jung talked about a lot, was that there is, you know, that he talked a lot about not just archetypes, but a single consciousness.
Well, archetypes is a whole different subject from synchronicity.
Carl Jung in his writings tied all three of those things together. The reason why he even developed synchronicity was a way to explain the collective unconscious. The collective unconscious, and he explained the collective unconscious through the symbolism of archetypes. So, I mean,
if there was a collective conscience,
right? Well, I think that, you know, obviously Carl Jung and his contemporaries certainly believed in one collective unconscious, or one collective mind behind all of reality that we are connected to. That is certainly something that he promoted, not only with the archetypes, but also with synchronicity. Synchronicity, he came up with the idea of synchronicity when he was talking to Einstein about the theory of relativity. And as they were talking, this construct of synchronicity came in, of meaningful coincidence. And meaningful coincidence was something for him that brought us from a place of ego consciousness to a greater consciousness or a higher level of consciousness, which he would call the, you know, that which ties us all together.
Correct. But there, okay, yes. But I don't necessarily believe
that. I wasn't disagreeing with you at all. I was giving you my perspective.
I don't believe that there is a universal consciousness that we all tap into. I don't believe that. I don't believe that.
I think that most people don't. I mean, and I, you're right. That is something that some people just, you know, don't believe in. From my perspective, there is a singular consciousness from which all things came into being. That you know, whether it's you call it the Big Bang or God or whatever, there is this one singular source of all things. Well, right. And many people don't, but you know that, and you, I don't really think that you people have to believe in that. That is just something that I do believe in, that there is a single source from which all things were, came into being.
You can't apply that, James. You can't apply that to Carl Jung's concept of synchronicity, because that's not
Carl
what he
Jung
said.
Applied it to Carl Jung's concept of synchronicity. If you read his books about synchronicity, he tied it into collective unconsciousness.
I have.
Right, and his whole purpose behind it was to explain, I mean, synchronicity came about to explain the archetypes and the collective unconscious.
The archetypes and the collective unconscious.
Which was another thing that Carl Jung wrote a lot about, was the archetypes.
Okay, all right. Right.
And the archetypes were an expression. If you read about the archetypes, they were an expression of the collective unconscious.
Tarot card in the major arcana is representative of an archetype.
Exactly.
So
yeah, the archetypes are
and Carl Jung talked about there's a book you can read. It was one of the first books I read. It was Jung and the Tarot. And it went into detail about he actually applied some of his theories back then because he was his contemporaries were, you know, some Arthur Waite and these folks, the OTO, the Golden Dawn, and those were his contemporaries. So he understood this, and a lot of his theories were based on some metaphysics, but as for a belief in a universal consciousness, no. I personally don't hold that belief, and I don't believe he did.
Okay, well, let me look up the book that...
Well, you two are...
I'm not...
Well, feel free, Maya. I mean, how do you feel about it?
Well, I see it a little bit... I'm a big fan of Carl Jung, and one thing that I would like to share... I'm not going to claim to know his mind, but one of his experiences that played into his embracing the idea of synchronicity, and this is the way that I understand him, is that he had a particular patient, and he was not able to get her, it was a female patient, and he became stuck with her in her process of moving forward and getting her to get to the point where he felt comfortable with his work with her. And he had been accessing various ways, and he was not always, this is just my understanding from my knowledge base, and it doesn't make it necessarily true nor false. But he was not always very accepted by his peers. In fact, he was shunned by many people, and he was revered as a genius by others. But back to his patient. He had a particular patient who had, he was searching for a breakthrough, an enlightenment, if you will. I would call that an enlightenment, a synchronicity. And there was a particular bug that it was very rare to the area, and she had claimed to have been seeing this bug, and he originally did not pay a lot of attention to it. But during one of their sessions, that particular bug happened to land on the window, and when he caught it and grabbed it, he realized that it was, I don't recall the name of it, and I don't even know if I could pronounce it, but it was not a common bug to that area. It wasn't like a mosquito or a fly.
I know, yeah.
Do you know the story? Okay, so that also added to his journey, and he began to really develop within himself and to those that, and in his writing, and as he went on this journey, not just this psychological journey, but this spiritual, metaphysical, supernatural, whatever word or term you want to use. And he did end up being able to work with this patient, client, whatever, and was able to develop movement, cause and effect, and show her the potential, the possibilities, and ways of releasing the past and ways of being open and embracing what life had to offer, and that there was some meaning to life, regardless of how we may all differently define that, whether we see it as one or many or where it comes from. That for him, that was an extremely important moment in his work, is that he saw that as synchronicity. And when he shared that with this client, this patient, she was able to understand what synchronicity was about, which is something that I think a lot of us, I personally feel a lot of us struggle with the concepts of synchronicity versus coincidence. Are they different? Do either of them exist? And does it really matter? So I just wanted to kind of share that story, that had a great impact on him, and that set him about I believe that was a catalyst for him to open himself up. He was already a very open person, obviously, and very spiritual.
Let me share something a little more modern. I had read very recently an article online about synchronicity and numbers, and particularly 11/11. And I thought about it a minute. I said, that's odd. You know, people start seeing reoccurring numbers, reoccurring events. What does this mean? What is this leading up to? Sure enough, over 2 weeks, I start seeing 11/11 and 1/1/1. That's synchronicity.
Right.
What is the meaning of me seeing those numbers all of a sudden? I mean, I'm not imagining it. I know I read this a couple of weeks ago, and all of a sudden now I'm seeing these numbers. There's something there. There's got to be. And it's synchronicity. It's a meaningful coincidence.
And what do you think the meaning, or have you yet to discover that?
I've yet to discover, Maya.
We'll find out. I'll let you all know.
Let us know when you discover what...
I'll let you all know.
Okay, because I would have to say, and then I'll turn it over to you two, because we are almost out of time. I would have to say that I believe strongly that synchronicity, there is an outcome, even if that outcome happens to just be what we learn to embrace as being possible or potential. I do believe that synchronicity has something to offer us. So
sure, sure.
Would you agree with that or disagree?
Yeah, I agree 100%. I like Carl Jung, and I think a lot of his theories, a lot of these other great B.F. Skinner and the rest of them, a lot of this stuff applies. It applies, and we're seeing it today. Still, these are the great psychiatrists, doctors. Pioneers of that. Freud, Jung, Skinner, pioneers, discovered all this stuff. I mean, look what these guys wrote about. And you were talking about women. I mean, women puzzled these guys back in those days. I mean, you know, hysteria, hysterectomy, you know, all this stuff. So they were all learning all this, too. And, I mean, women were not held like they are today in our society, if we do consider them equal in our society, which sometimes I doubt.
Right. I would agree with you that it was, unfortunately there was great bias, and we were considered fragile, emotional, sensitive creatures that would drop. And believe me, I could probably outshoot both of you.
I know you
God,
can
I love
me.
This. Oh, I love it. I love this. I extended the time a little bit, by the way, so you have time to do your ending chat. So.
Yeah, I'm sorry I came in late tonight. I wished I'd come in earlier. You know, I got doing something and I caught your email. I know,
yeah.
I caught your email late. I wished I'd come in at the beginning of the conversation. Maybe I would have had more.
Well, you know,
to
I want to interject something. Just my 2 cents here. A lot of times you'll see on the TV shows, the ones that are on every week, all of those. So somebody will say there are no coincidences. There aren't.
Uh-huh.
I happen to believe, my belief is that everything happens just the way it's supposed to. And I believe in synchronicities. I had a major one happen for me. Even just getting into the business, how I started out.
Sure.
I mean, I'm sure there were somebody was dragging me by the hair and saying, "Come on, look at this. You should be doing this. You should be doing this. You should be here. You should be there." I don't even know how I got where I am doing what I'm doing.
Uh-huh.
And there had to be synchronicities involved in all of that, don't you think?
Sure. I like a meaningful coincidence. It actually has a meaning.
I think what he said about meaningful coincidences. Is that what he said? I believe that.
Meaningful coincidences. Yeah.
Yeah.
He said
several
things. He also said the amplification, which is what I would say that's what I resonate with, is that the synchronicity is the amplification of coincidence. So if coincidence was a non-existent idea, word, term, outcome, then there would be no need to use it comparatively or interject it as an adverb or a noun into the sentence. So therefore, I still stand gun cocked, safety off, that coincidence does exist, and it's just a happenstance. But I believe much more so that synchronicity is what it is all about, and is what is the drive, or is the desire, or is the potential, the opportunity, which is infinite and unlimited, to bring us to whatever it is where we need to be, or
where we have to be, right?
That's exactly what I said.
Where we have to be today. And until we accept that and we start noticing these little things in our lives that have meaning or meaningful coincidence, we are blind and travel the road alone.
Yeah. So, James,
you know?
What do you think? James is awful quiet over there.
I was just waiting. Everyone was kind of chatting. Well, I did find the two books that I had referenced, Modern Man in Search for the Soul, and then The Archetypes and The Collective Unconscious. And I don't remember which one goes really into the collective unconscious. Archetypes and the collective unconscious.
That one.
I'm not sure if that's the one that goes deep into the collective unconscious, or if it's the Modern Man in Search for the Soul. So,
yeah.
But those two are quite intriguing in his theories about the collective unconscious, and kind of where the archetypes are kind of a blossoming of that collective unconscious. And then our modern beliefs are a blossoming of the archetypes.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, from what he was talking about. So that's kind of what, and I think that we may have even been saying the same thing. I'm not sure, but there is in his writing,
right.
certainly a focus on the collective unconscious.
Yeah,
and singularity principle. Which really he got from Einstein when he had discussions with Einstein about, and it was even before Einstein really had firmly understood his theory of, or really articulated his theory of relativity. That's where a lot of those beliefs come from, or those I don't want to say beliefs, but those mind experiments of Carl Jung's kind of stemmed from those conversations. And then there was another physicist, but I don't remember his name. Do you know his name, the other physicist that really...
I've always studied the grandfathers of psychotherapy, and I don't go for pop psychology today, but
oh, right.
I like to read certain things by different authors that are in psychiatry and things, and about how people think and how a lot of these old theories, these grandfathers of modern psychotherapy, how these theories were correct and are still used today. And I know that a lot of those concepts from way back, those folks, they came, we talk about their contemporaries, Einstein, Aleister Crowley, the evilest man alive was one of his contemporaries, Madame, how do you say her last name, Blavatsky,
yep.
And the spiritualist movement, and all the romanticism of those days, that was all their contemporaries. They came from a very, very different time. And these men were genius. Freud, he had some crazy stuff to say. Jung had some crazy stuff to say. But once we get into Skinner, B.F. Skinner, and the rest of them, we start seeing that, the grandfathers of what we know today about the mind, mm-hmm. and how we think and how we rationalize and how we view the world, be it a higher power, be it synchronicity moving through our lives, hey, you know what?
Well, look at all of us together right now. We're all
right.
Talking away, and that was a synchronized situation that came to be. We all were supposed to be together talking and doing
that. Yeah, I should have come in earlier. I wish I had come in earlier on
this
conversation.
Well, I'll remind you next time.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I've enjoyed this. I don't know about the rest of you, but even Candy saying she likes to have this all this interaction of people calling in, and sometimes you agree on something, sometimes maybe you don't, and that's what makes the whole thing wonderful and makes the world go round, is that we're all different and we have our own beliefs, and whatever they are right for you, and maybe somebody else's might not be right for you. So, but I am thrilled with tonight's show. I really am, and I extended it so you, all of you can, you know, Maya and James, you can do your final thoughts. Next week I will say that I think we're going to do it on dreams, and it's going to be a 90-minute show if I'm not mistaken, which will be awesome.
That's quite a topic. That is quite a dream.
It is.
Wow.
And,
it better be a 90 show.
And, yeah, I can call in and get a little mini, you know, kind of like what did that dream mean for me? What did it mean? And they'll discuss that, I think, unless we change it. Of course, now we always have to know that the weather controls us. James didn't know if he was going to be able to come on board tonight because he was having bad weather. I've got, you'll hear boomers, we call them boomers, in the back. You know, I used to say the nuns are bowling up there. They're using their bowling balls. If you went to Catholic school
South
or
Carolina.
Catechism, that's what you learned. Yeah,
South
they're just
Carolina.
Bowling up there anyways.
Oh,
there
you
man,
go.
Yeah.
You got things going on. You got some things going on in South Carolina now. Wow.
Yeah, it's come down here now.
Wow.
But it's fine. But it's fine now. So anyways, okay, I'll turn it back over to all of you, and you can say your final thoughts. Maya, you want to go first?
Sure. I just want to thank everyone. It's been a very interesting and very, at times, very provocative, I would say, discussion, and that's what spirituality I feel encompasses is we can all be like those before us, those great people that we discussed. And so I want to thank everyone for listening, and I hope that you will join us. If you know someone who you think would be interested, please let them know that they can go to STARS homepage or contact Natalie, also known as STARSCast. You don't have to listen live. All the shows are recorded so that they're easily accessible if you'd like to re-listen or revisit a show, or if you'd like to send it to someone else to listen to. There's something that you think they might glean something from. Anyways, I want to thank everyone for sharing their hour with us. Everyone have a great evening, and thank you so much.
Okay, James, are you there?
Oh, I am here. Did we lose Anais?
No, he's
here. Oh,
no, there.
He's here. I'm hanging out.
Okay.
He's here,
all right.
He
well,
says.
I guess I would just like to thank everybody for listening in, and I hope you have a wonderful evening.
I'm going to try to show up on time next time when we have a topic like this.
I'll wrestle you up on Facebook. Candy will go after you. She's listening right now, and she's probably laughing, thinking, yeah, okay, I'll do it. I mean, we try. I mean, she does
Candy.
An awful lot. Yeah, Candy does an awful lot.
She's
wonderful. But anyways, I'd like to thank everybody for coming on today, and STARS Maya Moon, STARS James, so much knowledge, STARS Aeneas. I have a lot of STARS. I wish more would call in. It would be, can you imagine me on the switchboard? I'd be having fun putting people on, taking people off. But anyways, that's the fun part of my job. And Candy's talking about, oh my, looking forward to this very topic, this one topic very much. See, this is awesome. This is going to be good. But I must say, you know, I didn't know very much about Carl Jung. All of you are making me want to read about him now. Isn't that funny? I heard his name before, but I never, and I knew what he was, but I never knew. There's so many brilliant people out there. If everybody would just, really, really. You guys talk like he's your buddy. I mean, like you knew him exactly. And I'm impressed. I've been very impressed tonight. And you've kind of geared me up here, hyped me up to read some of his work and learn a little bit more. In my spare time, of course. Anyways, I want to let everybody know that I love him very much. Maya, of
Thank
course.
Thank you, Nat. We love you.
Of course. Aeneas, Candy, Stars Candy Ransom, you know, she does all the promoting, and I'll say to her, oh, I see my Candy's working her magic, because she's popping all these ads at all of these groups and Twitter and all of that good stuff. So anyways, I think I'll be quiet now and say goodnight to everybody, and we'll see everyone next week, and it looks like it's going to be on Dreams. Is that right, James and Maya?
I believe so, yes.
James, yes?
Yeah, it works for me.
Okay, all right. Well, it's supposed to be 90 minutes, so we're going to really see what we can get, and I'll really be busy next week. But anyways, okay, have a good evening. Enjoy yourselves. Be safe, and I love you guys a lot. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Nat.
Bye.